Forest Company, hour number two here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you, getting you set for this football weekend. Full slate of college football games, Alabama, Georgia today. We get an NFL Sunday tomorrow with no Titans game, so you can just enjoy your NFL Sunday. And then
Red
Titans,
Zone.
Titans football on Monday. Yeah, we get full
red
day,
zone
full
all
day,
day
of Red Zone tomorrow. We love it. And then Titans on Monday Night Football. We will pick that game as well as Alabama-Georgia coming up at the end of the show. But it's time to get into our question of the day. Jake Wallman was in charge this week. He wants to know. We had a little talk about TV shows last week. And, you know, Sam Phelan, Titans reporter, he's on Survivor. So we want to know, what reality TV show would you like to be a part of? Plenty of options out there. We got a few answers on our text line. Let's get to those first before we give our answer. Sonny on our text line says Big Brother.
That's a good one.
And you know what? That's my answer. Big Brother, I've watched Big Brother since I was a kid. I couldn't get into it this year. I've started to fade on it, but I think I would be good at Big Brother. I don't know why.
I was hoping you were going to say like The Bachelorette or something.
The Bachelorette. I would love to be fighting for one girl with 20 other guys. That sounds awesome.
Now, Big Brother, that's like the, you're kind of tricking your opponents.
So like, you're like in a house.
Right.
Like it's a house, but it's like a studio, but they make it a house with 15, 16 other people. And there's a head of household every week, and they nominate two people for eviction, then they vote them out.
I don't think I've ever sit down and watch a full episode of Big Brother.
It's really cringy if you do.
My cousin's really big into that.
But it's fun.
I've always found it hard to get into that show.
I don't think I've ever sat down and watched a full episode.
No.
It was easier when I lived at home and like my parents watched it too. So like it would be like a family thing. Like,
yeah. Oh,
you know, Wednesday, Thursday nights we watch it. But it's three episodes a week and like I don't have time to watch it live. So I have to like go back and watch Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I did it for
weird days too.
Yeah, I did it for about a week this year and I gave up. Mm-hmm. It's just too much for me. But I would love to be on it. I think I could win Big Brother. I know everybody says that, but like having watched enough of it, I think I know the strategy. I think I could win. Mm. Ron on our text line says Barbecue Showdown on Netflix. He'll give them some of the slap your daddy barbecue.
I'd
be on that show, but I'd be like a judge just so I could eat all the barbecue.
That's true. That's the best position.
I finished watching it yesterday.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
That's such a Nick Frazier show.
I love that show.
Ron, you ever watched Great British Bake Off?
Nah, I'm not a British Bake Off person.
Really?
I just can't do it.
My sister likes that one, I think. I don't know.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Jason.
No, there's plenty of Netflix shows out there. Like, Is It Cake? Have you guys seen that one?
I hate that.
Isn't that where they have like...
I hate it.
It's like furniture looks like cake.
Yeah, it's like... It's,
everything.
They make everything into cakes, and like the judges have to figure out... They have like decoys, and they have to figure out
what is cake. What a waste of money.
Oh, it's so funny. They give... And it's like $100,000 or something for the winner. But it's... It's honestly
the way people get famous these days.
What are we doing here?
Have you guys seen The Circle on
Netflix? I have seen that one.
That one's kind of interesting. There was a former Vanderbilt basketball player on it last season. I don't know. I watched a season or two of it. It's kind of like Big Brother, but it's all virtual. Like you're texting each other, and people are like catfishes. Like they put a picture up of someone who's not actually them.
What was the one where? It was like a dating show. They were behind the wall and they never see him.
Oh, Love is Blind.
Yeah.
People love Love is Blind. I've watched one season.
That was a COVID show.
Yeah. It keeps going. Like,
really?
They've got like Nick Lachey is like hosting it now. And
Nick Lachey?
It's.
I don't know who that is.
me either.
Backstreet.
Yeah. Former boy band member.
Oh, really?
Backstreet Boys. Yeah.
I have to go back and look at it.
Netflix.
Or no, he's 98 Degrees.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
Nick Carter is Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, okay.
The Netflix, unlike any other when it comes to making stupid shows that people will watch, Is It Cake is probably the biggest example of that. Hmm. What are some reality TV shows that you guys would like to be on?
Let's get it from the man.
Yeah, Jake Wallman, you asked the question.
So one show that me and my mom have watched together for years is The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
When we were in peak COVID, like 2020, summer 2020, when like everybody fears of going outside, we found that Amazon at the time had multiple seasons of The Amazing Race on demand.
Yeah.
You could just go and watch. And Amazing Race really isn't a show that you can watch, you can binge watch, because there's like 15 episodes in a season and they're all an hour long and it takes forever. But that's when I really got into it. And I think I watched multiple seasons at a time. And I watch it with my wife now, and I joke with her, and it's like every task they do, I say I can do that.
We used to watch that all the time when I was a kid.
Me too.
My dad would, back on the old Comcast or whatever, he used to set it on the DVR,
yep.
And we watched Survivor, and then we watched Amazing Race,
yep.
Back to back.
That Amazing Race is a fun one because you get to do it with a partner, and mm-hmm. I feel like if you pick a good partner and you guys have different skills, like somebody can do the food challenges, somebody can do the heights challenges.
I'm taking Nick Frazier.
I think that would be a really fun one to go on.
Nick Frazier and I are winning $1 million.
I love it.
The show that I would want to be on, though, is The Office.
Oh.
I'm a big Office fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the antics of Michael and Dwight.
That's true.
Would alone do me enough to get me through.
Yeah.
You know what I would do? You know what show I would want to be on? I'm about to blow all your minds right now. The Voice.
Really?
Take it away.
No, I'm not.
Are you a judge or are you a singer?
I'll spin my chair. Dog.
I'm singing. I did. That's my hidden talent. I'm not even going to lie. I'll sing for you. If you guys take me to a karaoke bar one day, I'll sing for you.
Done. I need you to sing. I'm going to
show
I'll
outing?
Turn my chair for you.
Show
done.
Outing?
I will take you to karaoke bar. Okay. I'm in 100%.
Me and Chase McCabe are going to do a duet because I know he loves to do karaoke.
What's the song?
Jesus Take the Wheel.
Oh, wow. You're going high.
Nice.
Can you hit that note like Carrie?
I can sing like Carrie.
I'm in for this.
I'm not going to because I've already just deafened the eardrums of Nashville one time when I lost a bet to Junie when Western beat Middle.
Yeah.
I sing their fight song and I like absolutely just crushed it.
We've sang on this show before. We sang
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra.
My way.
Yeah. I love it. I hope you end up being the next Morgan Wallen, Connor.
I will. I just watched that the other day. Morgan Wallen's first.
Yeah, on The Voice. He sang Joe Dubin's favorite band, Florida Georgia Line.
Did he?
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
What did he sing?
No, he's right.
Yeah, he sang Stay by FGL. Or
no.
At some point, he
else.
Sang that song.
It wasn't. I think it was my semifinal.
It wasn't his audition. His audition was. I'll figure it out.
Well,
it'll come to me.
Back to the TV shows. Mine will have to be Guy Fieri, if you're listening. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yes.
Good one.
If I could be a co-host on that show, I would be 1,000 pounds, but I would be in hog heaven. The fact that he gets to try any types of food on planet Earth, drive anywhere across America. I just want to find the hole-in-the-wall restaurants that are still intact to this day that have been around since like the 1900s that are delicious, that you can still smell the grease coming off of the walls. Like, I want to go to those places.
That is like an advantageous one because like there's no pressure or anything. You're just going and you're just eating food.
And I think I have a well-trained palate to where I can kind of get the tang and the sweetness. And, you know, if I can taste there's too much salt in this one, like, I'm all about that. I mean, ooh, that's why I love cooking on the weekends in the morning. Unfortunately, it's raining today, but like I get to taste all the food that I'm making. I'm like, you know what? These pancakes, you know what they need? A little splash of vanilla extract.
Alex from Franklin might have the best answer. Jackass.
Oh, Lord.
Right. That. I mean, I wouldn't want to be on that show.
No, I'm good.
I'm cool watching it.
I'll watch.
Yeah.
That's
Nick Mayer, or Nick Frazier, the co-mayor of Flavortown. 2024.
Yeah.
You ever watch Cake Boss?
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
I used to watch that. Carlo and the guys.
Another one I'd do is Pawn Stars.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun one.
Yeah.
There's also one, Storage Wars.
Storage Wars is cool, too.
There are a lot of good ones, like good kind of obscure shows like that.
You know what one of my favorites is?
Hmm.
Live PD.
Oh,
good
yeah.
One. That's a good one.
Cop the Bounty Hunter.
Cop. I was never a Dog the Bounty Hunter guy.
Really?
I always thought he was kind of lame.
Hey, Man versus Food.
Man versus
won.
Food was awesome.
That's good. Yeah. Connor, you were right. Morgan Wallen sang Collide by Howie Day. That was his audition song.
I'm trying to remember
he
that
did,
song.
He You and I collide.
No. Well, I'll have to find it. My mom said that to me the other day.
But he sang Stay. I think, in the next round.
Did he win?
FGL. No, no.
I didn't think so.
He got eliminated, like, pretty early on.
Boo.
He's looks like they all missed out.
Yeah. Now he's probably the biggest star in country music.
Yeah. So it shows, like, there are plenty of stars who lost on those shows.
Carrie Underwood.
Like, Carrie Underwood won.
She was American. Well.
She won American.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson lost.
No, she won, too. She won season one. Carrie won season three.
Bo Bites won season two.
Season two was Ruben Studdard.
What?
You're really good with this. Was this a show you enjoyed?
I know the first. I only know the first couple.
Are you an American Idol junkie?
I was back in the day.
I like him. Well, back when Simon Cowell was on it, it was must watch.
Chris Daughtry lost.
Daughtry was good.
Daughtry lost. Lauren Elena, she lost to Scotty McCreary.
I remember when Scotty was on the show.
Scotty
won.
I never liked Scotty.
Fascinating.
One of the best seasons was David Cook beat David Archuleta.
Oh,
yeah. You guys remember that one?
I do remember that.
This is going to be mean, but I used to watch American Idol solely for the bad singers.
Oh, Pants on the Ground. Do you guys remember that guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was
hit. This might be X Factor. The holistic vocal coach lady.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, flips out.
X Factor was fun, too, when they, like, made One Direction into a band.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Look at you.
Did you not watch American Idol at all?
I did, but not to that degree. I'd, like, turn on the TV and flip on.
Carrie did not win,
by the way. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, she did.
And then I'm like,
mm-mm. Carrie Underwood won American Idol.
Mm-mm.
Yes, she did.
No. Let me look this up.
Carrie Underwood won American Idol.
Anyways, another TV show.
Jordan Sparks won American Idol.
She did. What was her name?
Oh, she did win.
Demi Lovato, didn't she appear on American Idol?
No, she might have appeared, but Demi was like Disney Channel.
She was an X Factor judge.
Yes.
You're right. She did win.
Carrie won.
Season 4, 2005.
Season 4, right. Fantasia won season 3 or something like that.
Wow. This is Jake Lyman over here has the knowledge of like Albert Einstein.
The first 10 seasons of American Idol, I probably remember most of them.
I love
American
Idol.
One of my favorites, you guys know Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Yes.
He got second to Chris Allen, I think he's had like one song that ever hit the radio.
You don't have a list up of this show.
No, this is off the top of his head.
Adam Levine.
American Idol. I wanted to be on American Idol as a kid. I thought I was a pretty good singer.
I remember this was like maybe 2008 or something, but McDonald's did like a Happy Meal American Idol.
Yeah.
I don't know why I remember that, but I had it.
Did they give you like a microphone as
a player? Yeah.
I think I remember that. I won in fourth grade. We had a contest called Virginia Idol, and you had to write a song about the state of Virginia and perform it.
What'd you sing? Almost Heaven.
No, you had to write a song. Like,
West Virginia?
Like,
you could change the words.
Couldn't use different tune. Like, you had to write your own song, and I finished second.
If Jake Lyman's parents are listening, can we get that song?
Honestly, there is no video of it, I don't think. Like,
there's video.
I don't know if there's video.
Dig back in the archives.
But I did.
Home video.
I finished second.
My mom says stick to sports. So.
I'm with you on
that. Maybe we should just start an American Idol podcast now.
Yes.
102.5 Idol.
No.
We should.
No.
Let's have a singing contest.
No.
I'd run all of you.
I like sports. Sports.
We've gotten completely off the rails. This might be the farthest tangent we've taken this year.
This is pretty bad.
You've got me just listing off American Idol winners. We will step aside and get back to sports. If you do have any more thoughts on reality TV, we'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we will return to sports. We will talk about the Titans. 0-3 on the year, preparing for a huge game ahead of the bye week on Monday night in Miami. That's up next. Forrest Company here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight at 6:30 for our college football game of the week. Georgia and Alabama presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Forrest Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We have found the limit of all tangents that we can go to, so we have to get back to sports.
It's the furthest we've gone.
That's the furthest we've gone. We're reeling it back in here. We're going to talk some Titans.
Give me some X's and O's, baby. Let's go.
Although it might not be fun to talk about the Titans right now, much less fun than talking about reality TV, because the Titans are 0-3 and trying to avoid a winless start to the season heading into the bye week. Monday night in Miami, rematch of last year's Monday Night Football game where the Titans came back from 14 late to get the win. What are we thinking about the Titans, boys? I mean, it's I said this with TD on Thursday, that Sunday's game against the Packers had a different feel than the first two, where the Bears and Jets games, you can kind of say, well, man, if Levis doesn't make that stupid mistake and we don't get the punt block, like, we should be 2-0. That wasn't the case on Sunday. The Packers took it to the Titans pretty much from the start and never looked back.
Let me just say this before everybody starts looking at me like I got eight eyeballs coming out of my brain. I think the Titans season is over. I think it's time to kind of start looking forward to next season. Titans need to start looking at other options of people that are on the roster, need to like move them elsewhere. Oops, excuse me. Move them elsewhere. I just think this season is already lost. Some people be like, oh, you can come back after 0-3 start. I think they're going to lose to Miami on Monday, unfortunately. Tyler Huntley is no joke. Tyler Huntley is about to have
Pro Bowler, Snoop Huntley.
Yes. Air quotes, Pro Bowler. I think Tyler Huntley is a solid QB3 for the Miami Dolphins. And he's good enough to get the job done. As for the Titans, yeah, they got some guys on defense that can kind of rally to the ball. I'm looking way into the future. I think the Titans may need to move on from Jeffrey Simmons.
Ooh.
Wow.
See, you had me. And then you said that.
I know. I've been thinking about this for the longest time now, and I've even talked to other people at the station about it, and they've looked at me, and they go, are you okay? Like, is your brain
all
right?
Yeah, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm just in such a Titans denial right now. I'm ready to just move on from everything.
I understand that because it feels like the Titans are just bad at everything right now.
Let me clarify, though, about the Jeffrey Simmons thing. Like, if you were to kind of find a trade option for Jeffrey Simmons, I feel like the return, it's at least two first-round picks, right?
Because at least minimum one and a day two pick. I would say minimum like a first and a third. That's the lowest that would possibly get accepted.
Okay, so with that being said, and I don't want to put this out there in the ether, but I am going to put it out there, because if you do that, then you're able to have some draft capital in return. Rand and Brian Callahan can start bringing in guys that they really want. Because if you look at it, obviously Tavondre Sweat's super young, only a rookie. You get rid of Jeffrey Simmons, he's now the new Jeffrey Simmons.
I don't know if I want to throw him in that position.
Yeah, because he's not. I mean, he's
a game record.
But hear me out. But if Jeffrey Simmons in the next 2 years is still putting up the same production he is now, your value for him goes down the tube. So you get no return for him.
I don't think Jeffrey Simmons has played bad, though.
No,
but I don't think he's been.
You want him to be a
top three defensive player in the league.
You want him to be a game wrecker.
I think he is,
and I think he can be.
He can be.
I think part of your denial is coming from his comments last week going into the Green Bay game. Nobody runs on the Titans.
No.
They did run on the Titans.
Solely, my opinion is not off of his comments. I've barely heard any comments he's made. I think I heard two clips from this past week on the radio from him. It's solely off of his performance and also just the future of the Titans. Like, if the Titans really want to do something, I feel like they have to do something monumental, that you're going to have to take five steps back to go 10 steps forward.
You better look out, Nick. Big Jeff might be coming for you after these comments.
Hey, he's a former Bulldog. I would love for him to sign a cowbell.
Keep in mind, I'm fine with it. Keep in mind, who's the one that pointed Buck out to Jeff? You're looking at him. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
It was me and some other guy.
I've heard this.
During Callie's presser, Jeff comes out. He's like, where's Buck? And we were like, oh, he must have an interview with Buck or something. So it's me and some other guy. He's over there.
And then
sure enough, what happened?
Oh, Buck may come after you now.
Yeah, Buck may come after me.
Anyways, I don't want to say it's like probably this week to move on, but like before the deadline, you really have to start looking at that pretty seriously.
I don't know about that. I think Jeff, you want him to be one of the staples for the new stadium. Like, if you're looking at guys who are going to play in the new stadium, Big Jeff, J.C. Latham, Tavondre Sweat, Roger McCreary. Like, those are kind of the guys that you look at. Everybody else, you kind of don't know. I think if the Titans lose on Monday night, I'm all in on, hey, trade DeAndre Hopkins, see what you can get.
Yes.
Are there anybody else? Maybe, like,
D-Hop.
He said.
D-Hop, maybe. Maybe
Calvin Ridley's locked. You're not trading him.
Amani Hooker? Like, I don't know.
McCreary? Tough.
No.
No?
You don't do that.
No, not McCreary. McCreary's a guy that you're going to extend.
Yep.
Maybe not Hooker. Like, I'm trying to think of veteran guys who you probably aren't going to sign to another contract. Hopkins is the one that stands out.
They're not using NWI. You're not going to get much for him.
No, you can't. Like, NWI and, like, Jamal Adams are kind of the two where it's like...
What about Treylon Burks?
If somebody is willing to give you anything for Treylon Burks, you take it.
But like, hear the conversation right now. You guys are fumbling to try to find another name for a trade option.
But we don't need to trade anybody. Like, I don't know. If you trade Jeffrey Simmons, that's an admission that you are going into a rebuild. Like...
This team is already in a rebuild. You went in after to get Will Levis.
But you just traded for L'Jarius Sneed and signed Calvin Ridley to a $100 million contract. Like, trading Jeffrey Simmons would not match what they did this offseason.
Yeah.
Listen, I did not understand why you go after and get those guys on defense. I mean, I get it. You want your defense to be a solid defense. Like, they're top in the league for sure. But your offense is in a 100% rebuild. 100%. You just can't have a all-out defense and a... very poor offense. It just doesn't work.
I think that they are, at this point, as much as they'll say that they're still in on Levis, I think the Titans are starting to look for other options. Like, there was a scout at the Miami-Virginia Tech game last night looking at Cam Ward. I think that they want to leave this roster together so it's in a good spot for whoever takes over after Levis. And if a Cam Ward or Quinn Ewers or whoever it might end up being, if they take a first-round quarterback, comes in, if you can set him up with pieces on the offensive line, Latham and Cushenberry, and hopefully Skoronski starts to improve, and you've got Calvin Ridley and you've got a good defense, that makes it a lot easier for a first-round rookie quarterback to come in and have success. So I don't see them trading away guys that they think can be part of this team next year. It would be guys that they don't see coming back next year that they want to trade and get some value for.
I mean, that's valid. It's probably part of my Titans denial of just this team always tends to either be really, really bad or just get to, like, in years past, 8-8.
Let me tell you something about Will Levis. This is exactly what I was expecting. I've been watching this guy for 2 years at Kentucky. And listen, I don't think anybody at this station loves Will Levis more than I do.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's my guy. I love him. But he's not at an NFL level. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
He's got the arm. He doesn't have the brain.
I wonder how much it is of the Titans offensive line that Will Levis is performing at this level. I'm curious because
that's a problem.
Everybody's talked about the offensive line.
The right tackle. I'm not going to tell you the right tackle story. That's Jared's thing, but...
You don't have a right tackle.
You do not.
I mean, that's got to play some factor into it.
It does.
Look at Malik Willis, for example. The guy when he was with the Titans, it was a fumbled snap here and there, go through one progression and run. You go to Green Bay, nonetheless, I will say Matt LaFleur did throw a little throwback to his old, I guess, offensive scheme when he was with the Titans, I think 2017, 18, right?
Yeah.
When he was here. It was just more that Mariota-style offense with Malik Willis. I mean, that's kind of what he did this past
week. I told you
weekend.
That would happen, though.
Yeah, you did.
The Titans make bad QBs look Hall of Famers.
But that offensive line for Green Bay, though, gave him enough protection to actually do something.
He had time.
Exactly. So it makes me think, I mean, I'm already out on Will Levis. I've told you this.
I'm out on Will Levis.
I've been saying
I'm out.
But, like, I'm going to go back to what I said before. You're going to see signs of regression and signs of progression with Will Levis. And at this point, I don't think the Titans are going to be in the position to re-signing him to some sort of deal because there's going to be probably, hopefully, another quarterback better than him out there.
I'm with you.
I don't know.
He's limbo.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. He's going to show steps, and he's going to convince you, he might be, maybe we can build off of this.
Yeah.
And then he takes about three steps back.
Well, because like I said before, in weeks past, like I said, regression and progression, the Titans are going to be stuck in the mucky middle of having to sign him. Well, I think it's gotten to the point where he's so, not great at what he's doing. The Titans are forcing themselves not to try to sign him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
It does. I'm not 100% out on Levis yet.
Oh. Really?
I'm not.
I think, I don't want to say I'm 100%. I think I'm 70-30.
I'm 60-40.
I'm getting there.
I'm 90-10. I'm out.
Wow.
I'm getting there.
We'll keep the conversation going next. We'll keep talking Will Levis.
Somebody put a doorstop in the door and kept it at 10%.
Just a little
It might have
crack.
Been Will Levis.
Those MTSU classrooms, they put that doorstop in because it locks, and then, you know.
Once it locks, you can't get
you
back
can't
in.
Get back. Well, they'll let you back in, but it's an awkward
not
knock.
Not the Titans.
Yeah, the Titans will not let you back in.
We will talk about Will Levis coming up in the next segment. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison for a Monday night football edition of the pregame show from 4 to 6 p.m. They will break down the Titans' Week 4 matchup against the Dolphins and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Forrest Company, we'll be right back. We'll talk some more Titans here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final half hour of the show. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. I thought this was the Trace McSorley song for a second.
Scrub straight.
In honor of the Newt Bowl today.
Right, right. Coming up in about 25 minutes.
The Newt Bowl.
Ole Miss and Kentucky. I wonder if that's going to be your wild card today.
Probably. It's the battle for my heart, even though I'll probably still cheer for Kentucky, but, you know, we'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
It's not going to be pretty.
11 a.m., Rebels, Wildcats. That's one of the premier games of the day. Obviously, Georgia-Alabama is the big one coming up later on tonight. And again, you can listen on 94.9 The Fan. That's our college football game of the week here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. We're talking Titans here towards the end of the show. If you have some thoughts on the Titans heading into their Monday Night Football matchup with the Dolphins, you can text us or call us 615-737-1025. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Before the break, we were talking about Will Levis and whether we are in or out on the young quarterback. Nick Frazier says he's almost all the way out. There's a little doorstop keeping him from completely locking the door.
Yeah. Last week it was 80-20 beef. Now it's 90-10, the doorstop.
Wow.
I'm
halfway through already. Your head's poking through.
It's over. Yeah. Accepting defeat. This Titans team stinks.
I agree. They are bad. I don't think this is going to be a good team, but I'm not 100% giving up on Levis yet.
I'm not either.
I think... Go ahead, Jake.
I think he needs to get through one game clean without making a back-breaking mistake. And because outside of those back-breaking mistakes, and I don't want to remove them because that's a big part of the reason why the Titans are 0-3, but he has had his moments where he's played well and he's moved the football, and maybe if the offensive line wasn't as bad as it has been, maybe we see a little bit better play from Will Levis. I don't know. I'm not – if you had to ask me right now, is Will Levis the starting quarterback of the Titans week one 2025, I would say no. But there's a reason they play 17 games and not just three.
True.
I think he deserves a chance, and hopefully Monday night, back in a place where he had success last year, hopefully he can take a next step and start to eliminate these back-breaking mistakes.
We hope so. We hope so.
But we don't know.
We don't.
And he hasn't proven that he's been able to avoid those mistakes over these first 3 weeks.
I'll say give credit to Teron Davenport, because he asked, they played the clip this past week about DeAndre Hopkins and asked about Will Levis. And he said, you know, Will's our quarterback type thing. But, you know, Teron just had a good follow-up question about it and was, you know, saying it wasn't a DeAndre Hopkins question. But at the same time, like, D-Hop was – he did the right thing by answering it, because, like, he still instilled confidence in Will Levis as the quarterback. I think you got to have that when you have leaders on your team. And you know, that was a conversation this past week, too, is like, who are the leaders? And I think Chris Sanders said it best yesterday on the Chase and McJoe show. You're going to find out who the leaders are if the Titans lose against Miami on Monday.
Yep.
Because I feel like right now, no leaders are really stepping up, minus DeAndre Hopkins, because, like, he's that leader, but under, you know, the silence, if that makes sense. He's a leader in silence.
You have to gauge the temperature of that locker room and whether they still believe in Will.
Yeah.
Because that's when you might have to pull the plug, is if the locker room does not believe in Will Levis. That's when Brian Callahan can't lose the locker room.
Yeah.
But I think until that happens, you give Will Levis as many opportunities as you can, because, again, we've talked about this. We know what Mason Rudolph is. I don't need to see Mason Rudolph.
I'm curious. Yeah. I want to get your guys' opinion on this. I'm not trying to switch, you know, the topics or anything, but with this 0-3 start, and if the Titans go 0-4, does that kind of, I guess, persuade your idea of losing credibility on Brian Callahan with quarterbacks? It just kind of dawned on me thinking about it.
No, I was actually going to go there. I don't know what Brian Callahan is yet. Yeah. I still don't know. I don't think we've seen enough from the play calling perspective of what he is offensively. There have been flashes of it. Will Levis throwing the deep ball to Calvin Ridley against the Jets was a huge one for me. But last week I saw nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there have been some similar comments like around him as a coach as a whole, with like his play calling and, you know, how he is with quarterbacks. And I think there is a standard you have to give said coach 1 year at the least to kind of figure out what they are in terms of managing a team, calling plays, if they are the OC or the DC, and, you know, how they are with game situations. And so I don't think we know all that much about what Brian Callahan is. He's definitely not the one that I'm losing faith in, though.
I haven't been impressed with Brian Callahan, but it takes time. Like, this is the first time he's been in this position. First time as a play caller, too. So he's juggling both of those things for the first time.
Right.
And honestly, Brian Callahan is going to get his guy if Will Levis doesn't end up being the franchise quarterback. Like, I know that Rand drafted Will Levis, but Brian Callahan wasn't part of that discussion. I know that in his interview, he probably said, oh, I'd love to work with Will Levis. But when push comes to shove, Brian Callahan is going to get his opportunity to draft a quarterback and see what he can do to develop his guy instead of a guy that he was kind of just saddled with coming in.
Yeah.
You mentioned Rand Carthon there. Are you losing faith in Rand?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's put together like a decent roster.
What have they done?
I mean, they're 0-3, but like, I don't think any of the decisions he made this offseason.
I'm not a fan. He put together a roster, but I don't like how unavailable he is.
I agree with that.
I don't like you're the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. Hit the podium, buddy. I don't know.
Yeah, well, especially like last year when he traded Kevin Byard and then wouldn't take questions.
I think he's more concerned with being the player's friend than actually their general manager.
Maybe that's the glue that kind of keeps the locker room together.
Maybe.
You don't know.
Maybe it is.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm out on Rand yet, because like this last offseason, you're right, he did put a solid group together for the most part. Like Sebastian Joseph Day, a solid player.
Yeah,
he's been pretty good.
Look at the guys that he brought in this offseason. Yes, did he leave a hole on the right side of the offensive line? For sure. That's a big issue, and that needs to be fixed as soon as possible. But you look at all the players he brought in this offseason. They've probably been the best players on the Titans through 3 weeks. Legarius Sneed, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, J.C. Latham, Tavondre Sweat. Like, all of those guys look like hits to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd Cushenberry's been solid as well. He's probably been one of the two best offensive linemen. Those two guys.
I'm not completely out on Rand Carthon. I think my frustration lies with what I heard all summer with Jared, toxic positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They spent the whole summer gassing this team up, saying, oh, we're Super Bowl contenders now. And then you go out and lay an egg, you're 0-3.
Yeah.
That's just where my frustration lies. There was no reason that we need all this sunshine pumping. We just go out and play football, get results.
Well, the sunshine pumping is all for the new stadium. Like, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
Like,
that's 100% it.
And when you don't back it up on the field, I mean, I've seen a couple of screenshots of Titans fans on Twitter showing that they have discontinued their season ticket.
Plus, they're trying to price out the average fan with the whole...
That's a whole topic for another day.
Yeah, I'm not...
It upsets me.
I don't know how that's all going to work out. I mean, it's so expensive already just to get the
PSL.
PSLs. The PSL. Then you have to pay a ridiculous amount of money per year for your season tickets. I don't know. I find it hard to believe that they're going to sell those out. I think they're going to have to either drop the price or... find a new demographic of fans to sell it to.
Yeah, it's definitely not looking great, I'll say that much. I will say to Rand Carthon, to that point of building the roster, I'll give him the exception of Cedric Gray, just because the injury.
But that's a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, but I mean, look at Jarvis Brownlee.
Yeah.
He's been a solid player and could potentially be starting this Monday night. So
right down the road from where he grew up.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Rand did a good job this offseason of, I mean, everybody he's brought in, I'm trying to think of anybody who's kind of been a bust so far, and I can't really think of anybody. Like, yes, should he have done more with the right side of the offensive line?
Sure.
100%. But there's only so much you can do in one offseason, and he brought in a lot of players who have not been a part of the problem so far at 0-3. I think the biggest problem has been coaching and quarterback play.
Yeah.
And the special teams.
For the most part, yeah.
Special teams has been... Do you think they need to make a change at returner? Because Jaquan Jackson cannot keep running right up the middle and getting 5 yards.
He hasn't made a terrible mistake yet, but you kind of feel like it's coming.
It's coming.
Just creativity.
Do you put back there?
Monty Hooker.
Tajay Spears.
If he's healthy. I know he's... Struggled with an ankle, I believe.
Yeah, bring Caleb Farley back, our slot receiver, kick returner.
That's another thing that makes me mad. Where's the usage for Tajay Spears? It feels like kind of a waste to have him in that backfield if you're not going to use him.
And that's a good point that Jared's made this week. Is like, last year they used a top 100 pick on Tajay Spears just to bring in Tony Pollard and take all of his carries away. Like, if you really believed in Tajay that much, like, I like Tony Pollard, but like, it seems redundant to have both of them.
There was a caller, I think it was Eric, that called in and mentioned about the fourth down play, about, you know, Brian Callahan was going to punt the ball and it was like fourth and short and they ended up calling a timeout and they went for it and Will Levis ran the ball and it was, you know, obviously taken short, right?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get to is, where's the screen game? Like, the decision making on offense, like, they even talked about it in press conferences in weeks past. Where's the screen game?
Yeah.
Because he said that'd be a focal point in the offense.
And we saw it in that Saints preseason game. Like, they ran multiple screens, and it just has not been a part of the offense so far.
And, like, I think that's where you use a guy like Tajay Spears, a shifty, small back that can actually be utilized in the screen game. I mean, David Martin Robinson, haven't heard anything from him at all.
He's been inactive. Yeah. Him and Thomas Odokoya.
Exactly. So, like, if your tight end play is decent, like with Josh Wiley, fine. But, like, you got, Nick Vinette, who scored a touchdown last week?
Yeah, he scored.
Baby Gronk, apparently, is his nickname.
Not going to knock him for getting a touchdown at all, but, you know, if you have solid players that are playing well in the preseason, kind of elevate them.
Yeah, that is a good point. Like, Brian Callahan, and I mentioned it's his first time being a play caller, but I haven't been exactly impressed with his play calling so far. I don't think it's been awful. Like, it's not Todd Downing, Terry Robiskie level stuff, but, like,
yikes.
It hasn't been great.
I just have PTSD from the offensive guru coaching hire.
Yeah.
Mike Munchak last time. How'd that go?
I was so looking forward to the Titans not making offense look difficult, and they've done it through 3 weeks. Like, I don't know if this is just me, and I might have mentioned this before on the show, but watching other teams play offense, it feels like it looks so much easier than when the Titans do it. Like, the Titans just make it look so difficult, and it's been like this for 10 years, with the exception of the 2020 year where they put up 30 points per game. Like, that's the only year where I feel like the Titans haven't made offense look hard. It just looks like getting a yard feels like a battle for the Titans right now.
It's like that one kid in school that always did his math problems on a piece of paper and would do it in his head. And then there's the other guy that actually knows how to do it on a calculator.
Yeah.
And that's me. What the other teams are.
I was the kid on the paper.
So was I.
It's the Titans are scribbling out, doing all their work on 10 plus 5. And they're like, well, you got to carry the one and all that stuff. But then every other offense is like, oh, well, that's 15. Dude,
carry the one on 15
on this calculator.
This is what the Titans are doing. They're making it more difficult than it has to be. Yeah. You don't have to carry the one. You just add. You just do it. Maybe we'll start to see it develop. And you got to preach patience because, again, first-time play caller, Will Levis in a new system, lots of new pieces. It's going to take time, but you hope that you start to see it progress in a positive fashion this week against Miami. Monday night, and again, the pregame show, 4 to 6 with Jared, Chris, and Derek. Should be fun over there at Twin Peaks. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll make our weekend picks, and we'll get out of here on this Saturday morning. Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Wrapping up the show here on Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Time to make our weekend picks. We got a couple here for you. We'll do a wild card. Let's start with the game of the night. You can listen on 94.9 The Fan, Alabama and Georgia. Top five battle in Titletown. Nick Frazier, lead us off. You taking the Tide or the Dogs?
I'll be taking the Dogs. I think the Dogs hang up 41. And, yeah, it's going to be not a close game.
Wow.
I think it'll be a close game for the first 2.5 quarters. And
then
the
they pull away?
Yeah, I think so.
Connor Newt?
Let me see if I can do it like Joe Duvin does it.
Okay. Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah, I like the Crimson Tide at home. I think I said this to you guys during the break at some point. This is the kind of game Kalen DeBoer pulls out. All that guy does is win. I think we find out what Alabama's made of. I think it's a barn burner. Give me Alabama, I'll say 38-34.
There you go. We got one for the Dogs, one for the Tide. I am going to stick with Georgia. I'll go 34-21. I think Georgia, kind of like what Frazier said, I think Georgia, it's close to like mid-third quarter, and then Georgia starts to pull away. Give me the Dogs.
I'm going to go with Alabama.
Yes. Split.
We got a split house.
I think I said it back when Kalen DeBoer got hired at Alabama. He's won everywhere he's been. If you can coach, it doesn't matter if you can win at D3 or if you can win at the FBS level. If you can coach, you can coach. And I think Kalen DeBoer can do that. I think Alabama wins close. I'll say 38-34.
There you go. Not only same pick, same score for Connor Newt and Jake.
Oh, I didn't know that. How about that?
Did you? 38-34?
I did.
There we go.
If that is the exact score,
you're buying us all.
Yeah, I'll bring something in next weekend.
All right.
You're buying me a donut, but
just don't go to Sonic down there.
Yeah, I'd be late. If Alabama beats Georgia 38-34 exactly, I'll bring in like donuts or something next week. Let's get to the NFL. Titans, Dolphins, Monday Night Football. Do the Titans get into the win column for the first time this year? Nick Frazier saying,
Nope. Not happening. I think the Titans, they'll keep it close. I say they lose 21-17. Tyler Huntley. I think Tyler Huntley runs one in.
Another game under 20 points.
Yeah. A-Chain, I think, is going to have a big game.
I do, too.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be Miami Dolphins show on a mediocre double.
I'm going to go Dolphins as well. Although, I think this might be with Tyler Huntley, who is not a bad quarterback. I think this is the game their offense comes alive.
Yeah.
I'll go Dolphins. I'll say 28-14.
Wow.
Yeah.
No faith.
No. They throw my faith out the window.
Faith is gone until they prove wrong.
Yep. I'll be the homer. Go Titans. I think the Titans win it. I will say they get above 20 points. I'll say 24-20 Titans beat the Dolphins.
I've thought long and hard about this, and you know, last week I said I wasn't going to make a pick. I just wanted the Titans to win. I've had my heart broken too many times. Dolphins.
Wow. I just got a text. My buddy is a big Alabama fan. He's there right now. He said he got barked at by a bunch of frat guys.
I love that.
That's typical.
They're just walking
that's
by him.
That's awesome. That is
oh
awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of the weirdest things in sports.
I think it's funny.
College football at its finest.
It is. This is passion right there, barking at random people walking by just because they're wearing Alabama stuff.
Just walking by and a bunch of frat dudes in their polos and backwards hats.
I love it.
Some of them, they like, you know, you'll have like their buddies walk behind them and grab their collars like it's a leash.
Yeah, yeah. They'll get down on all fours.
That's even
it just
weird.
I got dumped on in Oxford a couple weeks ago. I was wearing Ole Miss, but the
wait.
So
that's going in the compilation.
All right.
I got
What am I going to say here?
I guess people.
I got talked.
Number one and number
chattered
two.
Chattered.
My friends were wearing MTSU.
Gotcha.
Some frat guy. You guys drove all the way from Murfreesboro here to watch you lose. I'm like, brother, what are you?
He needs to go to Zane's.
Yeah, he's
got some good.
Connor, that was pretty good, Connor.
He's got like the Joey Molinaro like Rolodex of voices.
I don't know who that is, but
he's the dude who does the Saban like impression.
Oh. I know Shane Gillis.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He does what a great game today.
That's another good one.
You know, he's got it.
Oh man. So what your pick here? You said Dolphins.
Everyone went Dolphins except for me.
Okay.
I'm on the Titans.
Wolf.
Wild card.
This is my last NRL pick of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Yep.
What are we going to do?
What a sad trombone.
October the 6th is the NRL final, the finale, grand final. And I told you guys at the start of the season, the Penrith Panthers, probably going to do a four-peat, first time ever in rugby history.
Four-peat. That's a dynasty.
I think you might be making up teams.
I know.
Oh, I promise I'm not. They beat the Sharks this morning 26-6.
Where are the Sharks from?
Cronulla. Cronulla.
It sounds like an evil woman from a Disney movie.
It does.
The Cronulla Sharks. Yep. They had Ronaldo Militao as their winger.
DeVille.
So,
what was his name?
Ronaldo Militao. Yeah, he's a winger.
Sounds like a dog.
So you're going with the Panthers?
The Panthers are going to beat the Melbourne Storm, and it's going to be a great grand final. I think the Storm, they were the best regular season team, and the Panthers are obviously the dynasty caliber team. So
the grand final.
I can't wait.
Down under.
Xavier Coates versus Nathan Cleary. It's going to be a 1-2 punch. It's going to be a great game. Great game.
Connor Newt.
I'm going to the Newt Bowl. The Ole Miss Rebels and my Kentucky Wildcats, both my teams. I know it kind of contradicts. You can't have two teams, but I have reason. I'm going Rebs. It's not going to be pretty.
I think so, too.
I think they're 16.5-point favorites. Kentucky's defense is solid, but I think the Rebs get it done. I'll say 35-17.
I am going to go wild card for my wild card. Tigers don't know who they play yet. It doesn't matter. Tarek Skubal's winning game one. I won't pick the series.
I like it.
Ben cameo.
Tigers are winning game one.
We got a Ben cameo
got Ben
on college game day.
On the TV.
He ditched his Georgia jersey.
He did. There's a sign up there.
They gave him a media lanyard last week. At Oklahoma.
But he got one this week that says field pass, but in parentheses it says dog park.
Dog park. Jake Wallman, wrap us up with your wild card pick.
I am going to go into the MAC today. Northern Illinois at NC State. NC State's a 7.5-point favorite, but give me the Huskies.
Yes.
And an upset on the CW. Catch One Tree Hill before the game.
Yes.
Catch Final Cake Boss after. It's going to be great.
Big Bang Theory later that night. It's going to be great.
We love it.
I want to know about your Detroit real quick. Skubal, how many strikeouts?
We'll go 8.
Ooh.
I love it.
8 strikeouts. Tarek Skubal goes 7 innings.
I thought you were going to say like 5.
Beats either the Orioles or the Astros in
clean
game 1.
Sweep
I don't know what happens after that, but Tigers will be up 1-0 because they've got the best pitcher in the world on the mound on Tuesday.
Do that. The entire panel just took old.
He's got me fired up.
That'll do it for us here on Fours Company. Plenty of football on the game. Sports Network all day long here on 102.5 The Game and on 94.9 The Fan. Make sure you tune in. We'll talk to you next Saturday here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
See ya!